Go Strategic is pleased to present the School of Business Leadership. This teaching is entitled, Business Prayers God Will Answer, by Dennis Peacock.
Well, this is Dennis Peacock, and it's a blessing to be with you again, to be able to share in this series that we're doing on building a business with the Holy Spirit, or building our business ministry, a partnership with the Holy Spirit. I hope that what I've been able to share and what we've been able to do here together has been helpful, and I'm looking forward to sharing here in this series. Let's pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to give us grace and wisdom and understanding now, praying for my brothers and sisters and myself as we share these truths together, that they will penetrate into our spirits, that they won't just be intellectual concepts, but they will change us, change the way that we live, change our routines. Father, I'm asking you that as busy as we are and as busy as my brethren are, who are hearing this tape and are in the business school, that you would carve out regular time or longer time or prayer in the car or different places that they engage in prayer around the business, around the ministry that you've given for the people that they work with and the situations. Father, bring my brother and my sister into a new level of constant prayer and building this ministry that you've given them in prayer with you by speaking and releasing the things that will change situations, that will change the environment, that will change people. Release us, Father, to share those kinds of things now in this next hour or so. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Well, this is entitled, How to Pray Business Prayers That God Will Answer. How many of you want to pray prayers that God will answer rather than just take your breath? So I have done a series on prayer over the years, and it's not available. I probably need to go back and do one. So I'm going to be touching some highlights, as it were, that just talk about prayer in general. We're going to have to particularize these comments relative to your ministry in business. Now, you have a supplement called 10 Prayers for Obedience for My Business Ministry with God. Well, that's a lot of words, isn't it? 10 Prayers for Obedience for My Business Ministry with God. And we're going to be talking about that in a few moments. But let's continue on now in our partnership with the Holy Spirit in our business as we look at specific prayer issues that are required for us to stand in faith before God. Now, remember, we talked about the twin pillars of getting by the pillar of conviction and the pillar of condemnation, that we're in a place of obedience and faith before the Lord. By His blood, by His grace, we're able to stand before Him, but we can't stand before Him if the Holy Spirit is convicting us of things. As Jesus said, if you got aught with your brother, put your gift down. Don't go to the altar. Go get right with whatever it is you need to get right, or whoever you need to get right with, or get right with me. So then when you've got right with God, you've got by one post. Then the other post is the accusation that the enemy has, the condemnation. And you need to be able to silence him by the devil cometh, and he finds nothing in me. And the things that he has found in me, I repent of, and I cover by the blood of Christ. Now shut your mouth and get out of my way. And that is the way it's got to be. So we're talking about coming into the presence of our Father who we pray to. We don't pray to Jesus. We request from the Father. We request, Lord, help me. Lord, pray for me. You know, Christ is our intercessor, so we can ask Him to intercede for us. We can ask the Holy Spirit to intercede for us because He prays with groanings and sounds that we can't understand, Romans 8. So we have those requests of Christ and the Holy Spirit, but our ultimate requests are to our Father. Pray ye therefore to your Father in this way. Ask the Father. Jesus came, John 14:6. There's no other way to the Father. It's the Father that God is calling us to relationship with in prayer. by the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of Christ's name, etc., etc. So I'm trusting that you're up to speed on all those basic issues. So let's take a look at 10 prayers for obedience for my business ministry with God. We've tried to put this in a practical form so that you can keep it in your Bible. And I've found that, you know, out of sight does tend to be out of mind. So we're trying to give you aids that you can see, and they will call to remembrance, help you pray certain ways, certain things. Let's look at these things. Prayer for the faith basis of our business ministry. Father, extend your kingdom through the stewardship of my resources. Oh, Father, man, I'm just sharing out of my heart. Once I began to see the significance that everything we handle belongs to God and the stewardship of that, I want to be a good steward with what God has put on loan. I want to bring increase. Remember the parable of the talents? I want to hear him say, well done, I gave you five, you multiplied, now here's 10 more. Not because I want more responsibility. I mean, you got to be a mental case to want more responsibility. But because I want to see the kingdom grow. I'm willing to take upon myself more responsibility because I want to see the kingdom grow. I want to see the whole earth filled with the knowledge of God. As truly as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with my knowledge, Numbers 14. See, when that gets in our heart, we're willing to take more responsibility. And the only way we can take more responsibility and see the kingdom grow is to be a good steward of the resources, the leadership skills, the people, that is, the relational responsibilities, where I now serve you here in the marketplace. May the Holy Spirit make this really clear. May it get down deeper in your heart. I know it's in all of your hearts now to some degree, but may this passion for the expansion, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, that the whole earth would be covered with the knowledge of the Lord, even as the waves cover the sea. May that become so deep in us. And when you pray like that, friend, you don't think God is not going to not only hear, but answer that? You know he's going to answer that. That's what this, how to pray prayers that we know God will answer. Well, I tell you, I know he'll answer that prayer. Now, by the way, I'm not suggesting that you pray all these things necessarily every day, step by step. You may do that. Sometimes I'm in cycles or seasons where my prayer is write down 10 steps, boom, 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 you know, Lord. And then the rest of the day I'm saying, Holy Spirit, call to my remembrance the things that I prayed here. Make them real. Put names and faces and situations on these general prayers so that we can begin to work through them specifically. I hope that was clear. So we pray in general, and then we ask the Holy Spirit, because you're not going to spend 5 hours a day in prayer. I mean, that would be nice. Mostly you're not going to do that. So you're praying, you're opening your spirit up with general things, and then you're saying, Lord, fill in the blanks all day. Talk to me while I'm going to the bathroom. Talk to me while I'm in the shower. Talk to me while I'm riding in the car. Talk to me when I'm just reflecting in between appointments, but put specifics to these general prayers. Number two, Father, let me build with you and the Holy Spirit as you teach me to see and hear and sense you're working with me. Let me build with you and the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus said in John 5:17, I only build where I see Father building. I only do what I hear him saying. I mean, I look at that and I say, what a level of discernment. What a level of life Christ walked in. Father, let me walk in that same level. Granted, I know it's much infinitely smaller, but let me, by you, Holy Spirit, teach me how to see who God is working with. You know, God is not working with everybody the same level all the time. I hope you know that. With all due respect, if you think God is working with everybody on the same level all the time, grow up. I mean, like he said, leave Ephraim alone. He's given to idols. God leaves some people alone. That's why Jesus didn't heal everybody. He only healed the people that he saw God was working with in a particular way. I want to see that way. I want to hear that. I want to be able to hear in the speech of other people when Father is talking to them or talking to me through them. I want that kind of hearing. Father, I want to be able to sense where you're working in me, in my wife, in my kids, in my brethren, in the people at work. What are you doing? See, you're working with people all the time. Do you ever take notes on what you think God is doing with them so you can pray for them specifically according to insight and knowledge and wisdom as to what God is doing with them? So that's what business is about. Business, again, I know I'm a broken record, but I keep saying it because you've got to hear it and you've got to build on it deeper. Business is about working with people. If God will grant us the ability to free the people that we work with, the skills that they have, the anointing that they have, money is the least of our problems. Money is the least of our problems. The problem is, Lord, show me what you're doing with these people so I can work with you to release them. And as they get released, their productivity will go off the chart. Their lives will change. The kingdom will grow because of them. So I'm asking you to consider, get a notebook and put the names down of the people you work with and fill in the blanks with what you see God doing with them so you can both pray and work with them in that way. Now you say to me, Dennis, that's going to take some time. Well, I'm going to say this later. The borders of your ministry are the borders of your prayer life. The borders of your ministry are the borders of your prayer life. Your ministry ends where your prayer life ends. Your ministry is as large as you can work with those people and those situations in prayer. May the Holy Spirit help you to hear that. I just gave you something worth $1 zillion that God gave me, if you can hear it. Why should God help build something that you don't have the grace to pray for? If you don't have the grace to pray for a person or a situation, the chances are major that it's out of your sphere and it's not for you to do. I'm getting ahead of myself, but get a notebook, get a prayer notebook, write down what God says, write down what God wants you to pray for those people. Get involved in working with the Holy Spirit. That will help you see and hear who and what you're to be involved with. Number three, Father, let me fear only you and disappointing only you through my ignorance or disobedience, and to act in faith and obedience towards all people and situations. It's a complex sentence, two major ideas. What am I saying? Father, deliver me from the fear of man. How many choices have you and I made that were choices that were not made by God, but because we didn't want to disappoint somebody? And how much chaos does that bring into an organization, into a business? Forget the money. Yeah, you lose money on bad decisions. But decisions have got to be made because God wants a decision made, not because we want to please or displease people, or we're afraid of pleasing or displeasing people. Father, let me fear only you and disappointing you. Take out of me the fear of disappointing people. It's in all of us in our fallenness, but it will lead me to make bad choices. I want you to know, friend, I have made bad choices in my life and ministry out of the fear of man, of disappointing somebody. God, deliver me from that. Deliver us from that so that the choices and the decisions that we're making are ones that you've made and not because of the fear of man. And Father, give me the faith to act in obedience towards all people in all situations. If I'm having to do something hard that affects somebody in a hard way, or a decision that affects a situation and makes it really tough for people, give me the faith to make that decision, if that's what you're telling me to do, in a way that I know and believe it will work out if I will simply obey. See, sometimes we won't do the hard things, not just because we're people pleasers, but because we don't have faith that God will make the thing work out. So we don't make the hard choice because of our unbelief. We say, if I say that, this person is going to leave. This person is going to do that. This person is going to do that. That's all unbelief. We've got to obey the choices that God has for us to obey, but we've got to do it in faith, believing that if we've done what God told us to do, the people in the situation are going to respond the way God wants them to respond. Father, give me faith to obey you and to believe in the situation that it's going to turn out the way you want it to turn out. And by the way, Lord, I yield my expectation and my demand. I'm going to stop demanding from you that my prayers be answered the way I think they should be answered. How many of your prayers has God answered a way totally different than what you expected and it turned out great? And how many times do we mumble and grumble and fall into unbelief because God doesn't answer the prayer, and then it turns out he answered it, but we just didn't see it because we had a preconceived idea of what it was going to look like? Lord, deliver me from that. Let me pray in faith, letting you answer this the way you want to answer it. Number four, Father, keep my six basic ministry priorities. Remember we talked about this? In your order for them, speaking to me about what, when, and how to do your perfect will in each of them. Father, I want to serve you. Show me what season I'm in. Give me the regular disciplines you want me to have in order to serve you. And by the way, if you carry those disciplines, you're going to impart it to the people who you're discipling. That's what a discipling relationship is about. It's about the transfer and impartation of what we are and who we are. That's why the disciples you have at work, where you work, they're going to get what you're doing. If your relationship with God is regular and disciplined and solid, that's what they're going to get. They're going to get it. It's a miracle. It is a miraculous impartation that takes place in the Spirit. Father, my service and my care of my family, keep that in its right place in the midst of all this busy stuff. Keep it in the right place. My service and my care of my spiritual family. You know, one of the great challenges that you have in your ministry in the marketplace is making sure that your pastor and the people that you work with at church don't think you're so busy with your ministry in the marketplace, you got no time for the local church. That would be a catastrophe. So many pastors are afraid of what I teach in this realm because they're afraid that, you know, once I certify or whatever authority I have in the Spirit, people begin to get really excited about their ministry in the marketplace. They'll desert the local church. Don't let them feed on that attitude. Be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. I know there's going to be thousands of Christian businessmen and women who, when they finally get released, they're going to blow it. They're going to put down their involvement in the local church. Some of them are going to get snared by all the new money they're going to make because this truth works and it produces capital. And they're going to get snared, but don't let it be one of you. Don't let it be somebody who is a part of the school and a part of the Spirit and the movement that God is trying to build through us all. Don't let that be you. Put in your care and your service and your love and your responsibility, your spiritual family. D, my ministry to the kingdom through the marketplace. We're kind of back to number one. Lord, let the kingdom grow. Let me be a door through which your kingdom grows and expands in this wonderful thing called business, this incredible thing of the exchange of goods and services and contracts and all the management of the things, the resources you've made called business. I love it, Lord. Let me into the action of it, but let the kingdom grow through that. Father, keep my concern for the unsaved where it needs to be. Let it be filled with life. Keep in front of me the unsaved people where I work, that I could pray for them and get involved with them and do with and for them what I need to do. F, my service as a godly citizen to my community and my nation. You know, if you really hear what I'm saying, where does all this go? I'll tell you where it all goes. It goes to the Great Commission of Matthew 28:18. Disciple nations. What I'm about is I'm trying to stimulate the development of a worldwide movement in the body of Christ, a worldwide movement in the area of ministry, in the marketplace, where we can create billions in capital for millions of new jobs and a whole new atmosphere, that out of all this would emerge a Christian business network that the whole world would look at and marvel and say, we've never seen anything like this. We've never seen relationships. We've never seen people who care for each other in this way. We've never seen people who develop leaders and produce responsible people. We've never seen people who are so wealthy and so rich that they're not having to borrow, they loan. Some of you remember the promises God made to Israel. You won't be a debtor nation. You're going to be a loaner nation. I long to see the body of Christ come to the point where we're the wealthiest and the richest network on this planet, and we're able to take those resources and glorify God. That's what this school is about. That's what the prayers are about that we're talking about here. Not just building your little business thing, but building the deal, the whole thing. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And it ends up, it washes back on discipling nations. Some of you have heard about me in terms of city action councils and calling the elders to the gates, which is a whole other story, but it's a grassroots pushing problems back to the lowest level where they should be solved, where they're created on a local level, and the strategy of how to do that through city action councils. That's where all this stuff is going in terms of an overall grand strategy of solving problems in a godly way on a local level that releases people and causes the discipling process of the nation to go on in your business, and it flows into your city. Roman numeral 2, prayer for the oversight and the growth of our business ministry. Father, keep my spouse and I in agreement on the major issues of this ministry. Friend, the one thing the devil wants to do, the one thing your flesh wants to do, is to divide you from your spouse if you're married. And when you get married, if you get married, that'll be warfare number one, because a team, a husband and wife that are really living as one flesh, one spirit, their prayers are the most powerful prayers on the earth. And Satan knows that well. Father, keep my spouse and I in agreement on what we're doing in this business ministry. Father, keep your strategy for growth and investment and giving always before me as a guide and a measuring rod. So we need a tape measure. We need a ruler that we measure ourselves against. Father, supply the proper ruler, the proper relationships in my life that will keep me measuring up against your standards of growth and strategy and investment and charity and all the rest of it. Number 3, Father, help me to keep those who you've given to me for wise counsel informed and aligned with me in our ministry according to your will. You've given me people, now let me use them. How many of you have relational resources of pastors and counselors and boards, but you don't give them enough information for them to really pray about how they can help you and stand with you? Father, don't let me do that. Listen, I'll tell you out of my own life. How many of you think I might be busy? I'm a pretty busy guy. It's such a challenge for me to keep everybody that needs to be kept up to speed with all the conversations and information that they were not a part of, but affect the decision-making of where I'm going. It's a major responsibility to keep everybody up to speed, beginning with your spouse. But see, God gives us those people for accountability and counsel. It's our responsibility to keep them up to speed, not with chit-chat and foolish or lesser things, but Holy Spirit, let me keep up to speed with the big things they have to know, not the optional things, but the mandated things, the things they must know in order to pray for me and give me wise counsel and be wise team members. Father, give those things to my brothers and sisters. Number 4, Father, keep me building relationally with all those I work with in such a way as to glorify you. See, it's so easy to build around projects. And I know projects are structures and forms that make relationship happen. But don't let me get lost, Father, in the structures or the projects. I love them. I'm excited by them. And I know you wouldn't be in business if you didn't love structures and goals. I mean, the business people are the people who love challenges and love goals. And that's why you're fool enough to be a part of what we're doing here, because you love all that stuff, and so do I. But Father, in the middle of all this, Please keep me so I'm not a ministry machine. Please keep me from becoming technical in my relationships. Keep me real and vulnerable and touchable. And when we need to call the meeting off or stop in the middle of the meeting and say, John, I really love you. I'm committed to you. Or Mary, I want you to know how much I appreciate you. Later for this project, later for the business, I want to tell you who you are to me. See, that's reality. That's the way God built. And I want to build that way. I want you to build that way for the glory of God. And what it's going to do to your life, it's going to change the way people relate to you, your family, everybody around you. You start building that way, Christ gets involved. Christ gets involved. Number five, Father, keep my eyes on the true issues of growth in this ministry, the real issues of growth, not the illusionary or the symptomatic issues, but the real issues, which is obeying you. That's the number one thing. And let me continue to see profit as a fruit, not a goal. See, the problem with us in business is, you know, money makes it so easy to keep score. Well, then it's a measure of score. There's a score there. But the real issue is obedience, not profit. Father, you're the one that controls the profit. I just want to obey. Let me obey you in this realm. Number six, Father, keep me ethically, morally, and relationally clean, and protect me and those with whom I labor. Keep us free from presumptuous sins. The psalmist David said, Lord, keep me from presumptuous sins. How many of you, like me, have done dumb things because you thought, you assumed, you presumed, without the due diligence or without inquiring of the Lord? Father, keep me from presumptuous sins. Keep me from Vietnam. Keep me from the tar baby. Keep me from relationships that will entangle me and not produce fruit. Keep me from business deals that will make $10 of profit in return when I could invest the same amount of energy and produce a thousandfold. Holy Spirit, keep me from the snares which are on me because of presumptuous sin. Okay, now, you thank God, you say, Dennis, you know, I have a problem with unbelief. God doesn't really answer my prayers, or maybe he answers my prayers in the church and in spiritual things, but he doesn't answer my prayers in business. You're going to tell me, I'm being a little silly here and foolish, forgive me, you're not really going to tell me, I hope, that God is not going to answer these kinds of prayers in your business? You know flat well he's going to answer these prayers. The challenge is getting you disciplined and getting your spirit attuned to him so that this stuff is coming out of you all the time and you're taking notes, you're working on it, you're working this stuff, you're working the people, you're working the principles. And if you'll do that, I stake my life on the fact that God is going to get very involved. Take this list. Get your business prayer notebook going. Work your way through this. Pray it generally, and then watch God give you the specific answers. I am so excited for you. If you can hear this as a change of life and not a lesson plan from some dumb business school, but if you can really hear this for what it is going to revolutionize your life, and it's going to change the people around you. It's going to blow your mind what God will begin to do. Well, let's drop back to the main outline, point B. Let's do a quick general survey of some of the major issues involved in praying effectively. Number one, if we don't ask, God does not usually give. James 1, 5 to 8, Matthew 7, 7 to 11. Long and short of what those scriptures say is, you don't ask, so I don't give. You have not because you ask not. And when you ask for the wrong reasons, which is why you need to say, Holy Spirit, help me pray now. You give me the words to pray, and where I'm wrong, so what? I'm not condemned, but move me towards the words that Father wants me to pray that are the key to the door. You know, prayer is like a key to the door. You got to have the right key. The door is not going to open without the right key. Father, give me the words that are the key, because words are power. The power of our words is the key to the door. Lord, give me the words that will unlock this situation. Number two, God answers, this is huge. God answers general prayers generally and specific prayers specifically. God answers general prayer. You pray a general prayer, God will give a general answer. You pray a specific prayer, you take it down to the point. See, I want my prayers to be driven nails, I don't want my prayer to be a 4x8 plywood sheet. I want the force that is pushing that 4x8 plywood sheet to be focused down on a nail, because a plywood sheet will not penetrate, but the same force in a driven nail will drive through in the spirit what needs to be driven through to bring the change. It's like putting your hand underneath the high heel of a woman's shoe. That same force, that same 120-pound woman, 150-pound woman, can stand on your palm. Put your palm down on the rug. Let a wife or somebody stand on it. It's a little painful, but it doesn't really hurt. Try it with high heel shoes and see what it does when that force is magnified. That is a law of nature. It's a way that Father builds. Same thing is true in prayer. God answers general prayers generally and specific prayers specifically. So you ask the Holy Spirit to get the prayers down to the high heel point and watch what happens to your prayer life. Number three, no answer from God is an answer. No answer is an answer. And what is he saying? He's saying no. He may be saying not yet. Or he may be saying wrong request. He may be saying, no, you're praying something that I won't do. He may be saying, you're praying something that I want to do, but all the chips are not in place yet. So let me talk to you about what I want you to pray in place to release this thing to happen. Or he may be saying, you're asking the wrong thing. I do want to get involved in the situation that you have, but you're asking me the wrong thing. Then when I feel the Lord saying that, then I'm saying, Holy Spirit, okay, take me back to square one. What is it you want me to ask? How do I pray in the situation? Because I want the key to the door, and the words are the key. You get it? Major implication. You're going to have to listen to this more than once and read these notes more than once. I know you know that, but I flat guarantee you do this stuff, it works. Number four, God does not answer formula prayers. You know, now I lay me down to sleep, blah, blah. You can even pray the Lord's Prayer as a formula prayer, and it's just words. Our heart conversation, that is what is in our going on in our heart, must be in agreement with our outer conversation to be in faith. Psalm 86:11, unite my heart. Bring my heart together to fear your name. In other words, I can pray formula prayers with my mouth, but if what is going on in my heart is not aligned with what my mouth is saying, God is not going to honor that. It is a divided, scattered prayer. It is an insincere prayer. God answers prayers where what is going on in my heart and what is going on in my mouth are in agreement. Now, you remember from the transformation tapes, we've talked somewhat, we haven't talked that deep, but we've talked somewhat about the critical alignment of the inner conversation, the heart conversation, with the mouth conversation. And when those two conversations are agreed, you are then in faith. Unite my heart to fear your name. Number five, prayer with a spouse is near the very top of the list of power prayers. Prayers with your family is even better. When I'm praying with my family, when we are praying together, heaven rocks. Let it be, Lord. Number six, the borders of your prayer life are usually the borders of your ministry responsibilities. The borders of your prayer life are the borders of your ministry responsibilities. On a regular basis, I pray through, I have never counted the names and the people, but it would be over 100 on a regular basis. And you know what? Because the situation's just like your business, my business is people, your business is people. A part of my business is pastoring people and getting involved in churches and different businesses as a consultant and what have you. You know what? The measure of how I know whether or not I should do it is whether or not I feel the grace to pray for them on a regular basis. If I don't have the grace to pray for that person in that situation, I have no business being involved in it. And if you say, well, I don't have the time, I can't do this, then don't do what you're doing. Or certainly don't ask God to get involved with it, because how could you ask God to get involved with what you don't have the time or energy to pray for? I haven't always seen this, but I saw it some years ago. It's lunacy. It's insanity that we would grow outside of what we regularly pray for. The border of your ministry is the border of your prayer life. You can hear that, it will change your life, change your business. Number 7, God answers our prayers with His resources, underline His resources, when we have put our full resources into the request first. If I haven't anteed up, if I haven't put all my chips into the game, why should I ask God to put His chips in? So you can't pray hedging your bet. You can't pray with a reserve that you're holding back on giving everything you have to make that situation change and say, okay, God, I'm not going to put all I have into it, but I'm asking you to help me. No, God doesn't, He doesn't respect that. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He doesn't reward the casual inquirer. He rewards the diligent seeker. So says the Scripture. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That means putting your money, your life, your time, your energy on the line. You put your stuff on the line, and you can come before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm acting in obedience. Here's my marbles. I put my stuff on the line. Now I'm asking you, put more of your stuff on the line. If we're in a partnership, you've asked me to put all of my life. I'm putting all of my life. I've held nothing back here that I can see. I'm asking you to put your resources in it too. You think God won't respond to that? Man, that's a life poured out. That's a life in risk. That's a life in faith. Number 8, God meets us at the point of obedience to Him and His delegated authorities in our lives. If, you know, God, the kingdom works through delegated authority, the centurion, faith, you're aware of all that. I know we need to be more aware of it, but God's kingdom operates through delegated authority. The question is, Lord, am I in obedience to the delegated authority that's around me? And I'm not talking about blind, some kind of weird shepherding trip. I'm talking about being in compliance with the authority that is around you. And if you can't be in compliance, then that authority is either going to remove you or you're in the wrong place. Because God always puts us in a place where we are able to comply towards Him. Look at Daniel. Look at David. Look at the examples of the Hebrew children. They complied with everything, and then what they couldn't comply with, they didn't comply with. And there they were at risk. And God either certified their respectful rebellion, or they perished. They perished. It's that simple. Lord, I'm asking you to show me how to obey the delegated authorities in my life, because I know your kingdom works that way, and I'm not going to pray prayers that try and circumvent or get around your delegated authority. And I'm going to pray for your delegated authority, just like you told me to do in 1 Timothy 2. I'm going to hold up delegated authority. Number 9. We need to enlist others to pray with us and for us regularly. This greatly magnifies the power of our requests. This is the fulfillment of the law of two witnesses. It's a whole teaching. But let me just give you the headlines. Deuteronomy 17:6. This principle is established. On the evidence of two witnesses or three witnesses, he who is to die shall be put to death. He shall not be put to death on the evidence of one witness. Now, this principle of two witnesses is major. It runs through all that God has done in His universe. And once you see it, worlds begin to open up. Let me just, by the way, in my Bible, I've memorized some stuff, but other times I'll just get a key scripture and then I'll write every Bible verse that I know about two witnesses or whatever the thing is. Now, in my Bible, the reference I've memorized is Revelation 2:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Why isn't Christ coming back until both the Spirit and the Bride say, come? Because God only operates by the law of two witnesses. Without the testimony of two or three witnesses, nothing is done. Let me give you some scriptures to study this on your own. Deuteronomy 17:6, Romans 8:16, 27, 34, 1 John 5:8, Deuteronomy 19:15, Acts 15:28. I'm just reading here out of my Bible leaf. Deuteronomy 30:19, 2 Corinthians 13:1, Matthew 18:16, Matthew 16:19. We're going to talk about those last two. Those are scriptures that all deal with this law of two or three witnesses. Why do we need more than one person praying for a situation? Because of the law of two or three witnesses. Our prayers come up before our Father in that law. And if any two of you shall agree, what did Jesus say? If any two of you shall agree, be in the Spirit, be in my name, as touching anything, I shall do it. Why did he say any two? Because of the law of two or three witnesses. Now, Matthew 16:19, Jesus tells Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of God. And here's the keys. They operate in prayer. Whatever you bind on earth, I shall bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I shall loose in heaven. Notice he did not give us the power or the authority to be binding or loosing in heaven. Why? Because Psalm 115:16 says, the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of man. The earth is our jurisdiction. The earth is where you and I have power and authority. The earth is where you and I are to steward. Therefore, our prayers must remain inside our authority and inside our sphere. That's why he said to Peter, if you'll stay in your sphere, if you'll pray as my earthly representative, then the second witness, which is my Father in heaven or the Holy Spirit, however we sort that out, the Holy Spirit will certify as the second witness in the heavenly realm to grant that prayer request. We're back to the law of two witnesses. Our prayer life needs to be filled and based and built on the law of two witnesses. Point number 10, praying by the power of the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential. Paul tells in Romans 8:26-28, we don't have a clue how to pray. We don't know how to pray. Half the time, more than half the time, we do not know how to pray. But the Holy Spirit knows what to pray and how we ought to pray, and he prays for us. Now, whether you pray in tongues or not, I do. I hardly recommend it. You know, and this if cuts across your theology, I'm sorry, but Paul said, I would that all of you prayed in tongues. Okay? I'm not talking about standing up and giving a tongue in church, which, you know, theologically is okay with me, but if it's not okay with you, that's okay. But God gives us the ability to pray in the Spirit, whether you pray in tongues or pray in English. I love to pray in a tongue because my brain can check out. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm telling you there's power in it. I could tell you story after story about the power that's in it, but I would be digressing. But pray by the Spirit of God. Oh, Father, teach me how to pray and give me insight into this situation and into this person and into this business deal. What's in here that I don't see? By the Spirit, give me the ability to speak the words, because the words are the key. The words are the key. Give me the words that are the key to unlocking the situation. All right, next major thing, Roman numeral 2. It's related to what we've been saying. Our prayer life must proceed out of both the principles God is teaching us. That is, what is God teaching you? You got to pray out of what he's teaching you and the borders of the ministry that he has given to us. So you got the now word of God, what God is now teaching you like your instructor. He's instructing you. He's discipling you. He wants you to pray out of what he's discipling you in. Your prayers and my prayers may not be the same because we're in different spaces, and that's not better or worse than, or me superior to you or you superior to me. We're in different places because Father's teaching us different stuff. You need to be praying out of what he's teaching you, and you need to be praying into the ministry that he's given you. Now, Paul, and again, we talked about this in the transformation tapes. I'm not going to take time to go back on it, but in 2 Corinthians 10, 13 to 17, Paul gives us the principle by which his business ministry operated, and it was within the borders of his assignment. The borders of your assignment. How do I know the borders of my assignment? Well, one of the ways I know is what I can pray over. One of the ways I know is what I've been commissioned to do. One of the ways I know is where fruit shows up. As we've already said, our spiritual authority is on earth, not in heaven. The keys operate from the realm of our authority. Number two, our spiritual authority operates where God has given us both general authority as a believer. In other words, I have general authority that God has given me. Luke 19:16. Mark 16, 15 to 18 as examples, and he's given me specific authority over a particular ministry. For example, nobody on earth has more authority over praying for your kids than you do. They may have different gifts, they may have different authority in the church, but in terms of authority over those children were given to you, friend, and your authority over them, and once you see that, the power and the faith that is released. Nobody has more spiritual authority in business than the people that you are praying for in business because they're your responsibility in the spirit. Those of you that own your own businesses or manage a particular division, nobody has more spiritual authority in that case than you if you've been given that assignment. That's the high heel shoe principle we were talking about earlier. That's why your prayers have tremendous power where you've been given specific authority. Now, point three, A3 from the notes. The more particular my assignment, the more precise my authority is, and therefore, the more specific my prayers can be. If my authority is specific, then my prayers can be as specific as my authority. Think about it. Pray about that. Roman numeral 2b, we must likewise pray in accordance with the spiritual principles in general, that is the logos, the general word of God, and the particular concepts God has told you to operate, that is rhema, the now word of God. John 21, 20-22 is a classic. Jesus has given last-minute general instructions to the believers. And then he gives specific instructions to John. Peter comes up. Jesus gives specific instructions to Peter. And then Peter says, what about John? What about the specific instructions you gave John? And Jesus basically says, mind your own business, Peter. What I told John to do is between me and John. If I wanted you to know what I told John, I'd have told you. I'd have told all the disciples. But it was between me and John. Now let it go. I told you what to do. You do what I told you to do. How many believers, how many times have you had somebody who wants to get in your business between you and God? They want to know what God told you to do instead of paying attention to what God told them to do. So there's the general word that God has told all of us to do. Occupy till I come, steward till I come, blah, 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 disciple nations, obey me, go to church, don't withhold fellowship, tithe, yana, yana, all the general stuff. We're all supposed to do that, pray about it. But there are specific things that God has told you to do that's between you and him. Be about that stuff. That's the rhema word, the spoken word to you, the spoken word to me about what he wants us to do specifically for him. Number one, B1. Our petitions regarding growth. We're going to deal with this a lot in the second year. Our petitions regarding growth must stay within the biblical guidelines of borrowing money. Don't pray for money beyond what the scripture says you should do. Don't try and pray in resources beyond your net worth. or beyond the seed corn. Okay, I'm going to come to that in a minute. Being in debt. A lot of people say, Dennis, you know, you've borrowed on your house. Well, you know why I borrowed on my house? Because the net worth of this house far exceeds my mortgage. How do I know when I'm in debt? I'm in debt when my liabilities exceed the true average market value of all my assets if sold. Now, notice I underlined those words, true market value. I mean, there's what the books say, and then there's reality, okay, in terms of what something may or may not be worth. And that's where presumption and playing games get you in trouble. I'm not in debt if I sold all that I had at the lowest average market value and I still come out to the good side easily. Now, you got to be careful not to be in presumption, but technically, I am not in debt if my assets exceed the realistic liabilities and the realistic value of my assets if I sold them off. Nevertheless, that takes us to point two. The scripture prohibits us from investing seed corn either directly or as surety or collateral. You never put your seed corn up. I know I'm getting ahead of myself. I know I'm into year two. But let me just give you a preview of the kind of stuff we're going to deal with. You never invest the heart of your business at risk. That's your seed corn. If you're going to risk something, you got to risk something that is outside of the boiler room. It's outside of what you cannot lose. You never collateralize anything with what you cannot afford to lose, no matter how much it's worth. You bet off periphery issues, not main issues. You borrow off periphery issues, not main issues. That's your seed corn. Think about that. We're going to talk about that in the future. But whatever we need to say to you now, what I'm saying to you is this, is borrow biblically and don't borrow more than 7 years and figure out that if you can't pay it back within 7 years based on a realistic expectation and not some huge, humongous profit that may not happen, which is presumption. If you can't pay this loan off in 7 years, don't borrow it. And the best thing to do is not have to borrow at all, but to expand out of retained earnings. That's the way the game should be played. Number four, which again, I'm talking about seven-year loans. Expansion should proceed out of savings, thereby letting God determine your rate of growth. As a consequence of controlled management and character principle-based expansion rather than greed, presumption, or simply good opportunity. So I don't want to expand out of greed. I don't want to expand out of presumption. I don't want to expand out of good ideas. I want to expand because God has honored what we have done. We've got the base to expand. I may have to borrow a little money, but out of my retained earnings, I've got enough to cover most of this. And what I am borrowing, a prudent man, God would affirm that a prudent man could see paying this off within 7 years or less. This may be, you know, based on cash flow and your relationship with the bank, this may be a 90-day loan or a one-year loan, but maximum. I'm not going more than 7 years. And primarily, my growth is going to be determined by the skill of my management, which God has certified because I got retained earnings, savings. And I'm not going to borrow money that is going to hamstring me to the point where I lose market share or research or cut out jobs that I really do need for the sake of growth. I'm going to manage this thing. Growth is going to be done by excess, not by need. Those of you that need to, you heard enough in what I just said to give you some general principles. Number five, Christ's prayer life gives us some wonderful further insight into some of these principles. If we want to know how to pray, let's look at how the Master prayed. Teaches us how to pray prayers for our ministry that God can't answer. The raising of Jairus' daughter, Matthew 9:25. You need a faith environment. Jesus pushed out all the unbelievers. Don't try and pray in the presence of unbelief. It pollutes the atmosphere. If Jesus didn't do many mighty miracles because of their unbelief, who are we to try? Separate yourself. Don't pray with people who don't have faith. You're killing the prayer. God honors faith environments. The raising of Lazarus, John 11:41-42. Wait on God's timing. I mean, I love to minister out of John 11. It's a great teaching, great sermon. You can have a lot of fun with it. Basically, the disciples are saying, hey, look, Lord, remember Lazarus, the guy you love, Mary and Martha's brother, great guy. Remember all the good stuff, good times you had with him? Well, he's dying. And Jesus just shines him on. Finally, he says, look, he's sleeping. They think, that he's physically asleep. Jesus says, no, he's dead. And then he waits some more time until Lazarus smells. Martha gets uptight because he's going to bring a stinky. Can you believe that? She's concerned about a smell on a resurrected brother. Well, the wonderful thing about that is God doesn't answer some prayers until the problem really stinks. Some problems have to age. I used to believe that when I saw a problem, I was to act on it. Wrong. Now, again, here's where the Holy Spirit's got to give you discernment. Some problems you act on right away. Some problems you let stink because God is going to be glorified in some kind of an act of resurrection around that problem. And wisdom is to know the difference. We need to wait on God's timing for some of our prayers. Again, I'm just skimming through what we could talk about for hours. The Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Simplicity and specificity. Simplicity and specificity. It is an incredible prayer of simplicity and specificity, speaking exactly what we're asking God to do, but it's so simple. Our prayers should have simplicity and the high heel spike shoe, specificity. Next one, the Lord's Prayer in John 17. You want to study prayer? John 17, live in it. John 17 is so powerful. But Christ's prayer was specifically to glorify the Father's name. See, if you want prayers that God will answer, Lord, help me while I'm sharing all this. You know what prayer God will always answer? Father, glorify yourself in what I'm doing. Let that be the heart of my ambition, is not money, not pride, not power, not this, not that, but glorify your name in my business. He prays three things, basically, in John 17. Glorify your name, number one. Number two, protect my brother. I mean, most of that prayer is about protecting his disciples, his relationships, and thirdly, strengthening them for the assignment that I've given them. If we'll pray prayers that seek to glorify God, protect that which he is building through us, and strengthen that which he is building through them, God will bless it. Do you pray for what God is building through your managers, through those you work with? Are you praying that God will glorify himself through them? E, the centurion for his servant. Matthew 8, 5 to 13. Here's the centurion praying in the faith of God's chain of command. He is praying in the faith of God's. How clear are you in God's chain of command? Can you pray through that chain of command, through the authority lines, that the prayers will be answered through the authority lines? That centurion understood it well. And Jesus said, I haven't seen anybody that understands this thing the way you do. Prayer for those in authority, 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. You want prayers God will answer? Pray for those in authority, because he tells us to do that. If he told us to pray for them, obviously he's going to answer those prayers. Now, he'll answer those general prayers generally. He'll answer those specific prayers specifically. So we should be asking, Holy Spirit, show me how to specifically pray for Joe Jones, who's the chairman of the board of directors of this company. Show me how to pray specifically for the controller. Show me how to specifically pray for the person in charge of sales. Show me how to specifically pray for those in R&D. Show me how to specifically pray for my vendors, my customers. In your prayer book, I'm suggesting that you have a section for your customers. Write their names down and ask God to show you how to pray for them and their needs and what God wants to do through them. Will change your life, change their lives. G, Gideon for confirmation, Judges 6, 36 to 40. God honors it when we pray for confirmation. Lord, should I do this? Confirm it. Now, ask the Holy Spirit to be the one to show you the signs to be confirmed. Don't just throw down the gauntlet and say, Lord, you got to do this, this, and this. You may be asking for dumb things. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, okay, Lord, show me how you want to confirm and certify your will for this deal, this person, this relationship, this change, this move, this new thing, that new thing. Confirm it. But ask the Holy Spirit to show you the fleece. Don't determine the fleece yourself. You ask the Holy Spirit to show you the fleece. H, Solomon praying wisdom for leading the people. Incredible prayer. 1 Kings 3, 6 to 14. Pray that prayer for your responsibilities and those you lead. Oh, Lord, give me the wisdom and the insight to know how to lead these people. God's going to answer that prayer, I will guarantee you. Let me say this. It's probably worth your time to help you in this, to consider purchasing and listening to the tape series I did entitled Building a Business God's Way. It's the Advanced Freedom Series number one. I talk about some of this in other shades and in other directions. Advanced Freedom Series number one covers some of this stuff, but much less, and yet some of it comes at it from another slant, I think would help you. Let's summarize what we've done after what we've tried to do. I can make it real simple. The borders of your ministry is the border of your prayer. The borders of God's involvement with us is the border of our crying out to Him, to partner with Him. Where we're building on our own, we're building on our own. Where we're partnering with Him, we're partnering with Him. See, I'm assuming that all of you get dualism and the ungodly theological attempt to separate spirit from matter, the spiritual things from the carnal things, and all the garbage we've come out of that said business and all the stuff that God loves, the management and all the business parables which prove Christ was totally into all that. I know you've got out of that. You see that what you're doing in the marketplace is as spiritual as what your pastor is doing if it's done. And here's the key, if it's done in the Lord. How many of you know that pastors can pastor carnally? Pastors can be doing their trip by their power, by themselves, and try and slap God's name on it, and God isn't within 100 yards of it. And I know that because I have pastored and worked with them all for years. I understand the game. And I know you can do that game in your flesh as much as you can do the business game in your flesh. The question is, are you partnering with God in this thing? Is your whole heart, is your life to partner with God in all the decisions that you're doing and to glorify Him in it? That's the heart of what I've been trying to say in this series. Partnering with God. Now, again, I hope this doesn't come off like a smart aleck or a know-it-all. I know you are getting in 4 or 5 hours of teaching, however long all these have been, 4+ hours. You're getting in those hours what it's taken me years and years and years to learn and experience. Some of you that know this stuff and more, you know how this works. You're not going to get what I know in 4 hours. You're not going to get it by listening to these tapes once. Ask the Holy Spirit to pull out of this stuff what is particularly relevant for you now. And then when you get that, it's like learning math. After you mastered addition, get into subtraction, then go to multiplication, then go to division, then go to algebra and geometry and trig and calculus and the rest of it. Work your way through this stuff and trust that the Holy Spirit will make come to life what He wants to come to life right now, because that's really what He's saying to you and doing with you and doing for you. That's the season of where you are. And again, I hope you understand and get Father's heart for you that's coming through me, how much He wants to bless your business and your service to Him in the realm of managing and stewarding people. He wants to bless your socks off. But you got to become a student of the Word relative to this skill. You have to play by the rules, and you got to play with Him as the senior partner. You're the junior partner. Lord, let's build it together. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we're asking You that You would seal this information into our spirits by the power of the Holy Spirit, that You would call to remembrance whatsoever things Christ has said to us through this stuff. And Father, I'm asking You specifically for the individuals who are listening to this right now, that they would hear Your love and Your commitment and Your excitement and Your faith for them. and what you want to build through them in their families, in their businesses, through them in their spiritual families, in them through their community, that they would take these principles of building and apply them all the way around to everything and everybody according to the Holy Spirit. Father, bless this stuff. It's yours. Whatever is yours, bless it. Father, raise up a global army in the body of Christ through the marketplace. Let the Fortune 500 companies be filled with God's Fortune 500 companies, which are testimonies to Him and His grace. And Lord, let us be a prepared net to pick up the lives and the falling debris of a wicked economic system that surely will come to an end. And yet all the time you're building up an alternative economy, an alternative way of doing business, your way, through my brothers and sisters who are hearing this and doing it. Bless now, Father, this. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister. Go for it. Amen.
This is a copyrighted program of Go Strategic, Santa Rosa, California. Unauthorized reproduction is prohibited. Go Strategic is an international nonprofit organization that educates and equips leaders and others for effective service and leadership using biblical principles. For more information, visit us online at www.gostrategic.org.